VentureCast.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, I'm the founder, and my mission is to help ethical entrepreneurs and holistic healers to find their voice through spiritual coaching and podcasting. I'm honored to bring you the stories of those who create change through healing, kindness, innovation, purpose, and spirit. Understanding that to create collective change, we need to be the change. It all begins with us. Dr. Rebecca Jackson is an industry leader in brain health and optimizing the brain to enhance how you feel and function. She brings 15 years of brain balance experience to her role as Chief Programs Officer. In this role, she's published research on improving cognition, development and well-being, drives programmatic enhancements, and creates new programs to meet the growing demands of people wanting to achieve more for themselves and their children. Dr. Jackson is the author of the book Back on Track and is a frequent media guest as an expert on improving brain health, development, and cognition. Dr. Jackson's work has been featured on Mayo Clinic Press, Forbes, Psych Central, Business Insider, and more. She's appeared on both local and national news and shows such as The Doctor Show and NBC's Nightly News. I love nerding out about all things to do with the brain with Rebecca, so much so I've invited her back to chat even more on the subject in the near future. Welcome, Rebecca, to The Ethical Evolution.
Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. Now, you're joining us from North Carolina. For those people who don't know who you are and what you do, can you go ahead and tell us?
Sure. So I am the Chief Program Officer for a company called Brain Balance. And Brain Balance is a program that works with both kids and adults with the goal of strengthening and maturing the brain. When a brain is stronger, faster, and more mature, we are better able to pay attention for longer, block out distractions more consistently, stay on task, regulate mood and emotions, all the things that we need and want to be successful in life, whether it's school or work or even in relationships. So that's my professional job. As a hobby, it's very similar. I love the brain. I love neuroscience. I love the concepts of brain health, and I love that it's become more of an everyday conversation to talk about the brain and how it impacts how we feel and function. And I'm also a mom of two kids and a wife. I love to be outside and active. And just this last year, I wrote my first book, which was a two-year project. It was a long project, but it came out just recently. So that was very exciting.
Amazing. And we were just chatting off air, a million things that we can talk about the brain. But really, it's the beauty of podcasts that I think has opened up our understanding of ourselves and particularly our brain. Like one of the most popular podcasts, the Huberman Lab, talks about our brain all the time. And people are learning in droves about their brain and how this, meat suit of ours works. So you're probably seeing that trend as well, as people have got their own little PhDs and they're coming to you thinking they know it all.
Well, nobody does. The more I learn about the brain, the more I realize I know nothing and there's so much more to learn. But I think you're absolutely right, where podcasts have made information more accessible. It's made these conversations or given it a way to enter our life. We didn't sit down and watch TV shows about neuroscience the way we're consuming podcasts while we're in the car or trying to fall asleep at night. So I think also the combination of the pandemic paired with increased usage of podcasts, I think the two together really helped to raise our awareness. I think when we had years spent inside and we shifted the way we functioned and we had more and more kids and adults struggling, I feel like since the pandemic, our conversations about mental health, about burnout, about being okay and being our best selves, I feel like those conversations are happening much more openly and much more frequently, which I love. So I think that paired with more podcasts available has just made these conversations more available and more accessible.
Now, you know, we're talking to each other as 2024 now, and, you know, we are bombarded with technology every second of the day. It's very rare for us to have a moment in our day where there's not a phone on our person or some piece of technology, whether it be, you know, a smartwatch, a phone, whatever. And we're never consuming one piece of entertainment or data at one time. Our brains are getting bombarded for our waking hours at least, and sometimes when we're asleep. So, like, this is doing stuff to our brain, isn't it?
It is. And it's, you know, our brain can change at any age. And so even though we're adults, we think that development is done and finalized. It's not. The brain can continue to evolve. And we strengthen what we utilize. And there's really interesting data, and I'm not going to quote it because I don't want to get it wrong, but there's really interesting data looking at multimedia usage and how our habits have changed over the years. And you're exactly right. It used to be when people sat down to watch television, they sat down to watch television. Now picture, you know, if you were to describe to me, so Bindi, if you tell me, you know, it's Friday night, you're sitting on the couch, tell me as you're watching television what you have around you. How, what does that look like for you?
Well, you know, usually you're watching Netflix or something like that. Usually you have a smartwatch on, also a phone beside you, and sometimes an iPad. So there's a three additional distractions right there.
Exactly. And your brain is bouncing from one to another, and three is very standard at this point for me. It's a laptop, a phone, and the TV. And so I'm bouncing between work and social media or friends and television. And the reality is, you know, we talk all the time about multitasking. And I feel like culturally here in the US, that concept of multitasking and being super busy is really celebrated. But the reality is our brain can't actually multitask. Instead, we're constantly doing something called task switching. So we can only truly be engaged in one thing at a time. And so if I'm doing a work email and then my phone pings, so then I switch gears to check to see what message just came through. I just stopped the train of thought I had on work, shifted over to this other thing with the hopes that then I remember to shift back to complete the task that I started. That's high level executive function, to be able to shift back and forth. And each time we task switch, we burn resources. If you picture, if I were to give you $100 every morning and you woke up every day with $100 to spend on your attention, each time you task switch, where you're bouncing from one thing to another, you're burning through that cash. You're burning through those resources. And so we need to retrain our brains to single task focus. If I'm going to watch TV, I'm just going to watch TV so I can relax. If I'm going to do work emails, I'm only going to do work emails. I'm going to turn off the alerts on my phone and I'm going to set it aside so that I can focus on one thing, be more productive, get it done faster, and then save my resources for later in the day and for other tasks. But there is so much bombarding our attention, and we're driven or drawn to those things that give us a reward. So when we're watching TikTok videos, and for me, it's the funny dog videos. I'm a sucker for a good animal video. But that gives us that dopamine reward, that hit of feel good. It gives us a burst of energy and motivation and a good feeling. But we're spending a lot of time utilizing our attention that's giving us those constant rewards. But that's not the aspect of attention that we need to read a book, to file your taxes, or if you can think of any other, you know, long drawn out menial task that's necessary. That's actually a different kind of attention, and we call it all attention, but they're actually very different things utilizing different pathways in the brain.
Mm. And, you know, there's a couple of things there under what you just said, Rebecca, and, you know, our brain uses so much energy, doesn't it? Like, it's probably the one organ in our body that uses the most energy. And I don't think we fully realize that or support it, do we?
We don't. And it has such a huge impact on how we feel and function. I love that the conversation around brain health, because it focuses on what is it that we can do on a daily basis to optimize our brain health. I feel like brain health in 2024 is what heart health was in the 1980s when we increased our awareness of how we ate and how we exercised impacts heart health. To me, the easiest thing to understand is a tired brain is a negative brain.
Mm.
And so for me, when I hear things of, you know, think happy, positive thoughts, that is a great sentiment. However, when a brain doesn't have the appropriate resources, when a brain is fatigued or doesn't have the energy to support it, a tired brain is negative. Mm. So picture yourself when you've gone too long without eating, when you're so hungry, you're cranky, you're irritable, you have a hard time even making a decision in that moment. That is a real life moment where your brain has run out of energy and your brain isn't doing well functioning. You're not going to be able to control your mood the way you would when you're well fueled. And so that, and I want to bring this awareness to both kids and adults of if you're stressed out, if you're feeling tired or negative, thinking about it through the lens of what does my brain need right now so that I can focus, so that I can think positive thoughts. Because if we fuel our brain so that it's got the energy to support it, we're able to be more effective in everything we do.
Yeah, and it's really setting that foundation for a better day, isn't it? You know, and sleep plays a big part of repairing what the brain's gone through in the day as well, isn't it? Like if you're tired, your brain's just not going to perform.
Sleep is such a fascinating process in the brain, and it's so important. We consolidate memories during our sleep. Our brain organizes and cleans itself while we sleep. There's a really fascinating study from Cambridge Brain Sciences where they looked at the impact of sleep deprivation on cognition. And what they found was being sleep deprived, and this isn't, we're not talking months of sleep deprivation, we're talking a night or two of reduced sleep, had the cognitive impact equivalent to being intoxicated.
Mm.
And so when you're drunk, when you've had too much to drink, you're going to have a harder time staying focused, remembering information, and performing on cognitive tasks. And sleep deprivation has the same impact. And I can picture that vividly when I was a new mom with the first child, 5 months of lack of sleep. I remember one day saying to my husband, I feel like I shouldn't drive a car right now. Like I feel like, and so reading that study, I was like, I was right. I shouldn't be driving a car, even though it had been, you know, a year and a half with no alcohol after pregnant and nursing. Sleep is critical, not just to our mood, but it sets our brain up for success so that we can maximize our attention, maximize our memories to get the most out of our day.
Mm. And, you know, you reminded me of a study that I saw, yeah, I'm going to say I saw it on TikTok, but it also taps
solid in, source of information.
I know, right? it also taps into our good friend Andrew Huberman on his morning routine and what he does and how he focuses and all this kind of stuff. And there was this guy who he just wasn't acing his day, and he was like, "I'm going to follow Andrew Huberman's protocols." So he did the morning sunlight, he did the cold showers, he did the whole, you know, thing. He did the supplements, and then when it came to focusing on his work, what he learned was if he had his mobile phone in the room, he couldn't focus on his work. So he went and he locked it in the car, and it was the only way he could actually focus for a while and get something done, because your brain has this habit of reaching out for this thing to get that hit of dopamine, which actually, as you said, switches your attention away from the thing you need to focus on. And it's just having it in the room was enough for him to lose his focus.
Yeah. I know the information, and I still catch myself if I'm writing, maybe I'm working on an article and I hit a stall spot where I'm stuck and I'm needing to rethink. It's such a habit. I reach and I glance at it. It's a habit of when we get stuck, when we don't want to face our own thoughts, if our thoughts are uncomfortable or stressful, if we don't want to, if we're hiding from our own thoughts or emotions, when we're wanting to procrastinate on utilizing higher brain resources, because that takes energy to do that. But that's where I think conversations like this is so important, because by bringing knowledge and awareness to it, I'm still reaching for my phone, right? But then I catch myself doing it and I say, nope, this article is going to be better and I'm going to be done sooner if I don't reach for that phone. And so understanding the why behind it, I'm reaching from the phone because I'm avoiding digging deeper. I'm looking for a distraction when I shouldn't be. And I think, you know, one of the things with attention is that your mind wandering and thoughts bouncing from place to place. That is normal. Mm. That happens to all of us. It's good. It's how we process our past and our emotions. It's how we make connections in our lives. It's when we're brainstorming and creative. That is a type of attention that's a very relaxed attention that doesn't require a lot of resources. So when I think about this type of attention, I always think about if I were driving through the middle of Central America, flat plains, you know, cornfield after cornfield, you're driving the car, you're paying enough attention to stay on the road, but your thoughts are just kind of zoned out and roaming. That's a really important kind of attention. But during, when you're utilizing that environmental attention where it's relaxed and you're taking in the environment, you could react to it if you needed to, but you're not forming memories at that time. Mm. Your thoughts are bouncing all around. That's not ADHD. That's a normal reaction when you're using that environmental attention. However, if you're using environmental attention when you're sitting in the classroom during biology lecture, you're not going to be forming memories. You're not engaged with the content. So being aware of, as I'm working and I start to notice my mind wandering, that tells me I just shifted from focused attention where I can be productive, I can make connections, I can build memories, I can learn, I could share information, to that environmental attention. That signals me I need to do something so that I can get back into focused attention to be productive. Do I need to take a few minutes to move my body to re-engage my brain? Do I need to eat? Do I need to just shift gears for a little bit so that I can re-engage? So being aware of the different aspects of attention and how we use it and what we do to avoid things, understanding that can then give us some directional guidance to get more out of aspects of attention.
Yeah, and I find it interesting that you mentioned, you know, like driving through cornfields there. But I was actually talking to someone about this the other day, where when I'm driving, and I know I'm talking a lot about podcasts here, but, you know, that's my bread and butter. But I often listen to podcasts when I drive, and I find I have better concentration on the road when I'm listening to a podcast. And people are like, oh, no, it puts me to sleep. I'm like, no, it actually puts your brain in a different sort of zone. And I find I'm more concentrated, I'm not distracted, I actually focus better if I'm listening to something and I'm actually learning as I'm driving, which, you know, other people's brains might work differently, but for me it's something I've learned works really well for me, and I find it as an effective use of my time other than just traveling. And also when I'm find myself procrastinating and not wanting to focus, I tend to walk away from what I'm doing, go get a breath of fresh air, go and move, go do something, and then come back to it, because I find, you know, I need to reset myself and come back to it. So those are just some things I've learned that I'm like, okay, I know these things work for me, and if I do them, then I'll get a better result.
Yeah, I love that level of self-awareness. And one of the things, you know, when you were describing that, when you're engage with the podcast while you're driving, some of it's going to depend on the content. Mm. If the content is, and just a little bit, I've gotten to know you in chatting for a few minutes before this and setting this up, you love learning about the brain. Mm. So when you're engaged with content, so you're probably a person who loves to learn in general, and you're going to have some topics that you like more than others. So when you're engaged with content where you're learning something, that is your dopamine in that moment. And so you are going to be in that sustained focus. And when you're learning something that's interesting and exciting to you, that's going to re-trigger dopamine to re-engage that focus. Mm. Now, if you were listening to a podcast that was, I don't know, what would be a topic you that would bore you to tears?
Oh, look, I've made it pretty clear that anything that they're just talking rubbish and just laughing at nothing, yeah, you've lost me. Yeah.
Yeah, and that probably would put you to sleep because then you're not as engaged with the content and you're not learning. The brain loves to learn. So when you're learning something that's interesting and personal to you, that engages the brain even more. Now, I'm going to pivot a little bit. So you were talking about using that driving time for podcasts. One of the things that I've noticed both in myself and in watching my kids, I have two kids that my daughter just got her driver's license. She turned 16 and my son turns 14 in a couple days. But when we talk about that multimedia usage and how connected we are to so many different aspects of technology, I've realized we spend less and less minutes in our day in that environmental attention where we're not actively engaged in something. And so we go from work to scrolling social media to binge watching a show at night to sleep. And if we're going for a run or we're on a long drive, we're engaged with podcasts. We're constantly engaging our brain in content in some way, shape, or form. But I think it's tremendously important to also find downtime, time when our brain isn't actively engaged in anything, because that is when we're creative. It's when we brainstorm. It's when we process mood and emotions. But as I mentioned earlier, if we're processing emotions that are maybe uncomfortable or stressful, or maybe something happened and you're feeling bad about it, we can want to avoid our own thoughts, our own emotions, and then that has us leaning back towards grabbing the technology. So I think it's important for us to be mindful of, and I'm a huge fan of podcasts. I don't mean do fewer podcasts, but finding balance.
Yeah.
And for myself, I stopped doing podcasts during my morning run because I realized my most creative time was in the shower. And I was like, why am I so creative in the shower? It was the only time when I wasn't actively engaged in something.
Yeah.
And so being purposeful about starting my day each morning with an hour of time, I don't run that full hour, but an hour of time where I do just let my thoughts roam and wander so I can mentally prepare for the day and process life.
And also, you know, another thing that I find useful, and I do have moments in my day where I'm not consuming media. I know it's hard to believe, but yes, you know, I'm a spiritual coach as well. So meditation is quite important to me as well. And I find the difference in my brain when I consistently do that as well, you know, giving your brain a chance to rest and go to other, you know, levels of brain waves makes a huge difference. And then also following that up with journaling. So whatever you're holding in there, letting it out, I'm finding that huge, huge difference.
You're doing all the right things to support brain health and well-being. It's been fun to watch the acceptance of meditation now versus even a decade or two ago. It went from this, you know, hippy dippy thing out there to there is a tremendous amount of amazing research showing it's one of the best things that we can do to improve and maximize our sustained attention as well as mood and emotional well-being.
Now, we've been talking about focus, which in today's age, with all of these things that are bombarding us, is a challenge for some people. And, you know, we were chatting off air and, you know, I've always had this underlying thought, like, is ADHD really a thing, or is it just people using an excuse? Like, oh, it's my ADHD. I can't focus. I can't do that. Like, is this a thing, and how can we tackle it?
I'm going to say it's both. It is absolutely real. There are structural differences in the brain for an individual that has ADHD. And in fact, one of the things that we see is there's some aspects of development that in an individual with ADHD are about 30% behind their peers. So I always think about this in terms of a child. If I've got a 10-year-old boy sitting in a grade 5 classroom, but this 10-year-old boy has ADHD, this means that some aspects of this child's brain are going to be developmentally equivalent to a 7-year-old. So if you picture putting a 7-year-old in a 5th grade, grade 5 classroom and asking him to pay attention as long as the other kids, to do his work independently, to not break down and melt down into tears when he gets frustrated and upset, that individual's brain has aspects that are more immature. It doesn't mean that he's not brilliant, that he's not wonderful, that it just means that there are going to be some things that are harder for him. And what we know is it's more difficult for the ADHD brain to task switch. Mm-hmm. So they're going to, I'm doing the work email, my phone dings, I switch over to my phone. Their brain forgets to go back to what they started. So they're going to have a harder time completing tasks. We know that they have a harder time in the ADHD brain sustaining attention. So they're going to be more drawn to what I call reward-driven attention, which is the kind of attention we use when we're scrolling social media or playing a video game. It is not 2 hours of attention. It's tiny bursts of attention strung together by that dopamine reward. So you're playing the video game, you earn more points, ding-ding-ding, bells and whistles happen, and so you double down with attention again. This is a hyper-focused attention, which is why you lose sight of time and you get so caught up, and it's also why the brain is so negative and cranky after spending 2 hours gaming. You've burned through all of those resources. So absolutely, the ADHD brain, it's a thing. It's very real. It does make things harder. And this maybe isn't a fair analogy, but I've always imagined of when you're tired and hungry and stressed and you're trying to do something complex at work, I picture that to be the ADHD brain experience for some things, where it doesn't mean you're not capable. It doesn't mean that you can't get it done, but you're going to have to dig deeper in order to attend to all of the details on the task, to stay on task and not get distracted. So is that term overused? Yeah. Can it be used as an excuse when it's not real? Absolutely. But I never want to minimize the challenge of somebody that truly does have ADHD. There are aspects that are simply more difficult, which makes supporting brain health and understanding different aspects of attention and how you feel and function all the more important, so that that individual can live up to what they're capable of with that brilliance and creativity or whatever it is that they have within them.
So for those people that have been diagnosed with ADHD, like clinically diagnosed, is it due to a particular region in the brain, and is there anything they can do to sort of hack, their way through certain task changing?
Yes, it's due to multiple regions of the brain. So you hear a lot of talking about prefrontal cortex, which is the area of the brain that's going to help with executive functions. Mm. Our executive functions are our ability to achieve a goal. So it's how I organize my time and prioritize my time. It's the ability to make decisions, to follow through. So it's the child that completes their homework and gets it turned in on time versus the child that does part of the homework and it gets left in the backpack all crumpled up. But there's also an impact in the limbic system, which is our emotional regulation control centers. There's an impact in memory. So there's an impact throughout many, many regions of the brain, which is true for anything. Nothing in the brain happens in isolation. So if you have an impact in one area of the brain, there are going to be other domains of brain health impacted. So an individual with ADHD can struggle with attention and focus, but it's so much more than attention and focus. There can be greater challenges with emotional regulation. So how you manage yourself when you're stressed or frustrated or upset, are you able to keep your cool or do you lose your temper? Or, you know, does it result in tears or a meltdown? But what we're seeing is the brain is able to change. And this is the part that gets me so excited, is understanding what the challenges are so that you can hack your brain. We know that development has a huge impact on attention and ADHD. In picture, a 2-year-old child, you don't expect them to be able to sit and play independently for an hour. That develops over time with development. And there's many different areas that lead to our ability to pay attention. Our sensory system, the way we take in and block out sensory information, has a huge impact on attention. If I overprocess sensory information and I'm hearing every little noise and I'm noticing every little movement, and so my eyes are constantly jumping up to see who just walked by, why is the dog barking? Our sensory system has a huge impact on the development of attention and emotional regulation. And so something as simple as starting with your senses, and this is for all ages, this isn't just infants and toddlers and young kids, but giving yourself varied and repetitive sensory input is a way to exercise the brain. Our core muscles and balance and rhythm and timing are all functions that lead to developing those higher level executive function pathways. So exercising, doing things with, whether it's sports or dance, some sort of complex physical movement with rhythm and timing, swimming, horseback riding, those are all ways and examples to exercise and engage various pathways that contribute to developing those executive function pathways and skills.
And this is a curious question for you that just came through to me while you were saying that, is that I wonder, would grounding exercises help those people with ADHD, you know, like where they can become aware of their five senses in a moment, you know, like quite often it's an exercise they use for people that are overwhelmed, you know, like I wonder whether those grounding exercises are something that they could do, you know, regularly to help them sort of tune in to themselves to get greater focus.
I love that. And, you know, the book that I wrote is a whole book talking about what to do to hack the brain.
I've not read the book, by the way.
And I didn't say anything about grounding in the book. And now I feel like there's a whole nother section I should have added. Part two, the next book. You know, what I did talk a lot about in the book is that developing that self-awareness and how we can help our kids and ourselves start to develop that self-awareness so that you can step back and say, okay, what is it that my brain needs right now? So I love what you just described in grounding of taking the time to connect with your five senses, being aware. That would absolutely be a very powerful thing. Meditation is also extremely powerful in improving attention over time. And that's, you know, if I were to step back and say, what do I want more people to be aware of, is to know that yes, medication can help some of the symptoms of ADHD or some of the symptoms with attention and focus. There's so much more to ADHD than just attention and focus. And there are other ways beyond just medication to impact those symptoms. So doing programs and exercises and activities to engage your senses, to do grounding, to do meditation, change is possible beyond just medication as an option. And I don't think enough people realize that.
And that's, you know, another thing that I'm curious about is, you know, can we get through this without medication? I've had friends of mine who said to me, you know, I've got ADHD, but I don't want to go on medication. Like, they can get through this without medication if they actually, you know, are committed to doing the exercises and actually doing the work, can't they?
Absolutely. And that's, you know, the research that I've been involved in at Brain Balance, my favorite areas to research is improving cognition and attention. And all of my research has been around driving change in those areas without the use of medication. And for the kids and adults that do the Brain Balance program, they're able to reduce or stop taking medication. And it doesn't mean that always all things go away. But if we're working with an individual that has severe ADHD, we often see that shift. So maybe it shifts from severe to moderate, or moderate to mild, or mild to no longer impacting their life in a measurable way. So absolutely. And I never want anybody to feel guilty or bad. You know, there's everybody needs to do what's right for their lives in that moment. But for the individual that doesn't want to start with medication or has tried medication and maybe it's helped some things and not others or hasn't helped at all, I don't want people to feel stuck. There is a path forward to strengthening and exercising the brain that can impact anxiety, mood and emotions, as well as attention and executive function.
Mm. And that's great news. And I know one thing that's been sitting in the back of my mind as we've been talking is, and I know we've been talking about, you know, media and devices and all that kind of stuff. And I know TikTok's been mentioned quite a bit here today, but one thing that scared the hell out of me is TikTok becomes this rabbit hole in particular. None of the other platforms seem to do this, but TikTok has this formula where you get in there, next minute, 2 hours have gone down the drain and you've gone, what the hell did I just do? Like, you completely lost all track of time, space, everything, until they throw you one of the reminders to say, hey, you go give your eyes a break. And then once you leave that screen, your eyes actually feel different because you have been scrolling on that thing, lost in a myriad of stuff. And next minute, you've just lost that time. Like, psychologically, it does something to us. And again, it's a dopamine thing where we're like, oh, I want more of this. I'll come back to it. I want more of it. And then you walk away and then you're like, oh, I want to go back to it. But you're sort of like, but I've just lost all this time. Why do we want to keep going back to this? Like, it's got this formula and I want to break it.
You're so right. And we have to celebrate the neuroscience and get frustrated with it at the same time. You know, when we look at video game developers, I live in Raleigh, and Raleigh is a hub for Epic Games, which developed Fortnite, came here from Raleigh. And I don't know whether to celebrate that or apologize. There's, you know, balance, all things in moderation. But the video game developers, and I don't know TikTok developers, so I can't speak to that firsthand. But what I know of the video game developers is they have a good understanding of neuroscience and how the brain and how attention works. And they know how to trigger a dopamine hit every 7 seconds so that it re-engages your brain. And so those activities are designed around capturing, stealing your attention, taking it, grabbing a hold of it, and not letting go. And again, when we're in that hyper alert phase, we lose track of everything happening around us. So they know how to suck you in. And then, you know, with TikTok and YouTube, they also have all the algorithms to know what it is that you like. They're going to show me all the funny dog videos. They're going to show you all the neuroscience learnings or, you know, whatever the things, they show you more of what you like so that they're catering exactly to your brain to maximize that attention. And so, you know, on one hand, you have to give them credit for utilizing the knowledge at their fingertips. On the other hand, it scares me for our developing kids. It's hard on our adult brains. It can change our brain when we're spending a lot of time doing something. Whatever we're doing, those are the networks and pathways that we're strengthening. So when we're spending hours each day strengthening our reward-driven attention pathways, our ability to only pay attention when there's constant rewards, we are not strengthening the aspects of the brain that pay attention without rewards. So for our kids and adults, it's finding balance in each day. If you are spending time on social media or gaming, then make sure that you're also spending time reading a book, planting a garden, going for a walk, you know, doing something that isn't just that constant reward.
Yeah, I absolutely find it fascinating. And I mean, I've got a day job outside of this, Rebecca, where I actually work in digital, and I've been doing this fascinating experiment recently where I'm looking just specifically at short video, so less than a minute, and looking at how it performs against long form video. And so what short form video has done has absolutely exploded in comparison. Like I can't even like give you the numbers. It's so huge. But I just did an exercise this week where I'm using my own content as an example. I put up 6 short form shorts for YouTube. 10 times the visitation in comparison to the longer format. And I'm like, okay, so less than a minute, we're capturing people. Less than a minute. Like, that's all it takes is less than a minute.
And my question would be, and then if you compared 30 seconds to a minute, does that continue to go up with engagement in the people using it? And I would, if we tracked that trend over time, I suspect that it's getting shorter and shorter and shorter over time, as we're spending more and more time in these just short snippets, this burst of information, and we're jumping, task switching constantly from thing to thing to thing in these short bursts and increments.
So it's almost like we're creating an environment where we're evolving ourselves to just be micro consuming over and over again in different ways. And I'm pretty sure what my vision that I can see is that things like Netflix, the shows that you see there are going to be a lot shorter than what you currently see.
Yeah. I think from an evolutionary perspective, I mean, I think that the implications are things that we probably can't even fathom or think of from so many different aspects. So again, being aware, finding balance so that you're supporting the brain and understanding when you're in that hyper-focused state of constant reward, that is the most expensive type of attention to be using. You're draining all of your resources. So when you're done, you're going to tend to be tired and more burnt out. So if you're going to do that, save your TikTok scrolling for the end of the night rather than before work when you're making your 1 minute digital shorts to maximize that productivity.
And that's a habit, you know, like people are saving the TikTok scrolls for bedtime, like, which is a bad habit, right? Bad habit.
And as I said that, I was thinking we don't want that in the hour before bed. And I know, I mean, I can sure tell the difference in myself. If I'm on the computer for work before bed, I do not fall asleep. Mm. My brain is just going. I'm more sensitive to sleep as I get older, and it becomes more and more precious and harder to get great sleep. And so really making sure that you've got great sleep hygiene is critical. And that hour before bed is not a good idea.
So if you were going to give the people listening three tips to help them have greater concentration in their day, what would they be?
I'm going to go back to summarize a little bit of what we talked about, is ensuring sleep hygiene. A tired brain is negative. Ensuring that you're fueling your brain. That fuel comes from the foods that we eat, and the quality in what we eat is really important. Not all fuel is created equally. Sugars burn and disappear quickly, so we need to make sure that we're also getting healthy fats and protein so that your brain consistently has the fuel it needs. And then the importance of exercise. Mm. When we move our body, it engages the brain. And so utilizing exercise and movement helps to get the most out of the moment. So again, if I'm stuck at work, I'm, you know, hitting a brick wall, something as simple as standing up and doing 10 jump squats or just something that spikes the heart rate and engages muscles can help you refocus. Now I'm going to cheat because those were three things.
I was going to say five.
Those are three things to help you optimize current function. Now I want to give you three things to help you build towards better function long term. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the sensory piece. If you're doing the same routines and habits and patterns every day, your house smells the same every day. Your carpet and your hardwood floors feel the same to the bottoms of your feet every day. Provide for yourself and your kids a varied sensory experience. Make sure that you're incorporating different smells, different tastes, different textures into your day, because that sensory experience is rich for the brain. Our brain learns through our senses and engages with the world and environment through our senses. So each time you're providing your brain a different sensory experience, you're engaging more pathways and exercising and building new pathways. So sensory repetition and variety. So you want to do something new and then you want to do that new thing multiple times to reuse that same pathway to strengthen it over and over. Sensory is so important for anxiety, for attention, for emotional regulation. Sensory input is enormous for the brain. Meditation is one of the best things that you can do to continue to build on that and improve. And if you struggle with starting with meditation, whether it's for yourself or a young child, starting with just mindfulness of being aware is such a great place to start. And it's okay if you can't quiet your mind, be aware of where your mind's going and following that those thoughts can help to build that mindfulness that will lead to improvements in meditation. And then the importance of rhythm and timing. So doing activities, you know, from time to time, whether it's horseback riding, swimming, dancing, sports, coordination and timing, when you're doing something physical and having to sync your body to a particular timing, that engages and lights up so many separate areas of your brain that all have to come together and synthesize to work together. And anything that you're doing that's engaging lots of regions of the brain all at the same time is really powerful in building a brain that's stronger, faster, more efficient.
I love that. I play guitar and piano and paint. Those are my three things. And when I do those, they're almost like my meditation. It's like, yeah, It just, you can feel your brain goes to another place. And when it's really hard stuff, you're like, come on, brain, come with me. We can do this, you know. But, yeah, you do, you notice the difference that your brain just behaves differently. And if you don't exercise that, you do feel your brain get tired and it doesn't really want to keep up with you anymore. So, yeah, we got to do it. It's just like another muscle, right? We got to exercise it.
It absolutely is. Use it or lose it.
Mm. Now, Rebecca, if people want to find out more about you and grab your book and get in touch with you, where can they go?
For the book, you can find it on Amazon. The Australia version of Amazon also has the book. It's called Back on Track, A Practical Guide to Help Kids of All Ages Thrive. And it talks about what to do with kids from birth through toddlers, middle school, high school. And even though the book is focused on kids, if you have a brain, you benefit from the information. What we talk about for the teenage brain also applies to the adult brain as well. To find out more about Brain Balance, you can go to brainbalance.com. We've got locations all across the U.S., but we also have a Brain Balance at Home program. So we've worked with many, many, many families. I think we've worked with families from over 40 countries at this point. So you don't have to be local to the U.S. to benefit from the Brain Balance program. And you can find me on LinkedIn or Instagram under Dr. Rebecca Jackson.
Amazing. Now, I got the last big question for you. What's the change you'd like to see in the world and how can we bring it to life?
Oh, you know, mental health.
Mm.
Science has come so far in treating cancer and heart disease. We need to do better in mental health. And it comes back to brain health, and that needs to be incorporated in our schools so that it's just a part of our daily lifestyle, part of our curriculum, that kids grow up doing the activities that is going to optimize and maximize development that helps to minimize the downstream complications. So I want the world to do better in supporting brain health, which ultimately impacts mental health.
I could not agree more. I know it's an area we really need to continue to work on, just like we have any other major health crises in our history. It's our current one that we've got to focus on. Rebecca, I feel like I have only touched the surface with you because, you know, there's other bits that I'm just thinking we could have unpacked around, you know, kids' brain development and a whole bunch of other things. So I'd love to have you back sometime if you're keen.
Absolutely. Clearly, we've got some common interests.
Absolutely.
I'm excited talking about similar things. I would love to come back.
I can't thank you enough for being with me. Thank you for being a part of the Ethical Evolution.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution podcast. If you're ready to be the change and would love to work with me on finding your voice through spiritual coaching or creating your own podcast with impact, visit ethicalchangeagency.com. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's growing every day with great content and highlights you may not have heard on the podcast. In addition, please subscribe to the podcast on Spotify or Apple, and why not leave a 5-star review? If you're not following me on social media, you can find me at Ethical Change Agency on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube, and at DJ Bindi on TikTok and Instagram. If you're interested in diving deeper into the ethical evolution with me, I've created a membership program that allows me to bring you more in-depth exclusive content without relying on paid ads. My goal is to deliver members way more value than the cost of the subscription. Benefits include Ask Me Anything episodes. I've interviewed hundreds of people from around the world, so imagine what you could ask. Access exclusive bonus content only for members that focuses on the downloads I get through my conversations that include actionable tips. Support Ethical Change Agency and the Ethical Evolution podcast on its mission to amplify change makers who make the world a better place. Access to global connections who can help you make greater impact in the world. Meditate with me and discounted spiritual coaching or podcast consulting with me at 15% off. That value alone pays for your membership. For only $7 a month or $70 a year, you can access all these benefits of an Ethical Evolution Emergence membership. If you want to learn more and access these benefits, head on over to ethicalchangeagency.com.
Today is working for me. Do you believe that for yourself? Hey, I'm Pastor Julie, and I want to empower you through encouragement, inviting you to my podcast, Big Truth Encouragement, where I unpack living a faith-filled life. I created my podcast for the ladies, but gentlemen, you'll gain something too. So I invite you to listen to Big Truth Encouragement on ElectriCast and any platform where you listen to your podcast.
ElectriCast. Hey there, I'm DC. I host the rock podcast, Back to the Arena, The Interviews. It's about a 30-minute podcast where I talk one-on-one with a band who has released new music. You can find us on all the best podcast sites like Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and more. If you're a rock fan like me, subscribe today to Back to the Arena, The Interview.
ElectriCast. ElectriCast.